supplementing the hydraulic code rulemaking record to comply with an agreed court order. This is the Prospectors Administrative Procedures Act. This is a decision. Randy?
Good morning. Yes, so good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the commission, director and deputy director. I'm Margaret Carlson. I'm not Randy Thurston. She was on a much-deserved vacation, so we thought we'd keep some continuity from the call that we had to today. And with me is Pat Chapman, Regulatory Services Coordinator for the agency, for the Habitat Program. And we appreciate a little bit of time this morning to talk with you about mineral prospecting and hydraulic project approvals, or HPAs. We don't have a presentation. You may find the briefing summary a helpful piece to follow along with. We thought we'd start off just by drawing a couple of big picture observations. As you likely saw from the emails that you received, there is a broader public policy conversation around mineral prospecting in Washington and protection of fish life. And we've enjoyed opportunities we have had in the past and will likely have in the future to talk with you all about some of those broader issues. Today, the task before us together is much more narrow. We are here to request that you take a very specific action that is the result of an agreed-to court order from the Thurston County Superior Court, which is the outcome of a case that's known as the Beatty case. Specifically, coming out of that agreed-to order, the Fish and Wildlife Commission must take a vote regarding 2 points. First, whether the HPA prospecting rules that you adopted in 2014 were the least burdensome alternative. And second, whether those same rules imposed more than minor costs on businesses. The Superior Court did find in favor of the agency on the rest of the content of that case. And of course, it's very important for us to take action on these 2 points coming out of the order. Before I pass it over to my esteemed and very much smarter colleague, Pat, do you have any questions about the distinction I've drawn between some of the broader topics and the task today?
No? Anything? I think that was covered in our conference call.
Thank you,
Morgan.
Good morning, commissioners. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail that we discussed in the conference call a couple of weeks ago, but if you have questions, I can certainly address those as we move along. So hopefully in the interest of time, we can get through these pretty quickly. With your permission, Chair, I think it'd be best if we let me brief about the least burdensome alternative, then deal with the motion, and then we'll go into the second aspect, if that's okay. So, as Morgan said, one of the issues is to deal with, did the commission select the least burdensome alternative? So, as part of the rulemaking process, staff looked at 4 alternatives, some that we came up with, some that were identified by the public. And those alternatives include alternative A was a no-action alternative, which happens in every case, and that we would keep the 2008 rules. Alternative B would be that we could place additional restrictions or prohibitions on certain aspects, such as dredging. Alternative C would be that we would roll back the authorized work times for prospecting methods to some sort of earlier time frame, like the 1999 rules. And then the alternative D, which is the one we selected and that you voted on and adopted, was to consolidate the broad 4 sections of mineral prospecting rules we had previously into one section, and to streamline certain aspects such as ocean beach prospecting and allowing motorized mini high bankers, and also included some work timing changes in streams in, I think, 4 different counties, a few streams, to reflect our current knowledge of life history changes. So we presented those to the commission, and you adopted those in the 2014 meeting, and you adopted alternative D, which was the consolidation of all the rules. However, when we presented that, we didn't ask you to specifically vote on whether that was the least burdensome alternative. So that's what we need you to do today. And again, I'm not going to give a synopsis of the reasons why each of those alternatives are necessary, but I'd be happy to answer questions if you have those. We still recommend alternative D as the least burdensome alternative. And I do need to point out, though, that if you decide that it wasn't the least burdensome alternative, then the department would have to go through rulemaking again and go through the whole process for mineral prospecting rules. So with that, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. If not, then...
Just to make the point, least burdensome alternative that also protects fish.
Correct. Yes, good point. Thank you, Commissioner. Right.
Good point. Any other questions?
Okay. So do you want to enter in the motion, or
sure.
Should I move on?
I assume we're talking about motion number one.
Correct,
okay.
Yes.
I move that the small-scale mineral prospecting hydraulic code rules, WAC 220-660-300, adopted in November 2014, were the least burdensome alternative.
Second?
I second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Motion passes.
Thank you for that. Okay, so the next issue is the economic impacts on small mineral prospecting businesses. And again, the same sort of thing. The commission was not asked to, and you did not specifically address whether there were disproportionate impacts on small businesses. We did do an analysis, and I think included in your packet was a small business economic impact statement. Our consulting economists looked at the whole rule package that you adopted and determined that for all those rules, including small-scale prospecting rules, that there wasn't a disproportionate impact on those for the whole rule package. They did look at an aspect of the rules for prospecting that they determined was an actual economic benefit, and that was the streamlining portion, which would eliminate a number of individual applications that folks would have to apply for. So in that sense, it was determined it was an economic benefit. So to try and relook at what the impact of those rules are on small businesses for prospecting, we did database search from Department of Revenue and Department of Licensing, and there's a document in your notebook regarding the results of that. In a nutshell, what it found was that we couldn't find any indication of individuals that applied for permits had business licenses. So we looked at 50-some prospectors that had HBAs over the course of the year up through March of this year. Couldn't find any businesses. And of the businesses that were identified by Department of Revenue as mining businesses, we tried to interview as many of those as we could. None of those were impacted by our rules. So our conclusion still stands that our rules did not impose more than minor cost to small businesses, and therefore a small business economic impact statement specifically for mineral prospecting isn't warranted. Again, we still have that recommendation for you. Again, however, if you think that is not the case, then we would need to prepare a small business economic impact statement to address that. So any questions on that aspect?
Questions? So you ready on that one?
Yes.
Before I read that, there's one typo in there down in the second line. It says imposed. Please, if you agree with me, we'll get rid of the D if this is going to go into the record.
I think that's correct, yes.
Okay, I move that the small-scale mineral prospecting hydraulic code rules WAC 220-660-300 adopted in November 2014 did not impose more than minor costs to small-scale mineral prospecting businesses and therefore a small business economic impact statement is not needed.
Do we have a second?
A second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Further discussion on the motion? Yes.
Well, perhaps this is for the attorneys. I'm wondering if it's even strengthened by amending it to say, and it might even result in savings, because these are the guys that are that aren't having to get the HPAs. Isn't that correct?
So your observation is similar to the observation that was made in the initial economic assessment.
Yeah.
The need for this motion is caused by the Regulatory Fairness Act, which merely looks at the negative. Did it impose more than minor costs? So for the purpose of complying with the court order, I think the motion, as you've read it, will suffice.
Okay.
Good question. Good answer.
Thank you.
Okay, so any further discussion? Motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Two for two.
Thank you, Commissioner.
So with that, the votes that you've taken help us comply with the agreed-to court order. Do you have any other questions before we let you move on?
Yeah, so in the future, as we compose motions around EIS and all, we need to be attentive to ensuring that this kind of language is built in. Just an observation.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Or it'll come back to haunt us.
Yes.
So both in the phone call and today, there's been discussion of the broader social policy questions that are present in this issue. Commissioner Thorburn had questions last time, so did I, because we're getting all this mail. Is there a plan to look at this further, or are we just going to try to get through this and then think about it?
I think right now there's both the public policy, and there's also the interpretation of that public policy through court cases. It's my understanding you have an executive session later today, and we'll have some of our attorney generals present, and they will be briefing you on some of the current and ongoing legal issues. In addition, I would say sort of more generally to your question, we have certainly gotten questions and appeals from people in all parts of the interest of this public policy conversation. And some of what we want to try to make sure that we do is that we are complying with the law that we've been given by the legislature, and that has been very clear, and also with the part of our mandate around fish protection. I think it might be good for us to go back and think. I don't have a strategy ready to lay out right now, but I think that's something that we can talk about in the future. And, you know, it's certainly been a while since we have asked for any feedback from you, or you've had a chance to offer it on the broader public policy conversation.
Thank you, Margaret.
Yeah.
This isn't pertaining to mining, but in my job, we deal with HPAs on a pretty regular basis, and I don't care how it looks when you're sitting in this boardroom. When you get out in reality, these become pretty dicey. We had some flood issues this spring, and we had a new county commissioner with us, and he wanted to go for the ride along when we were doing our HPA works. We had to throttle him because he became very frustrated with the process. And I'm just saying, when you get out in reality and trying to do this, and we had roads washed out and were narrowed up, and all of a sudden the prescription was for large woody debris to be put back in on a 30-foot stretch that was washed out, and that meant we were going to have to dig into the road, buy a log someplace with a root wad on it that was going to cost $2,500 to get there, and it was going to get buried in the road, and in time that would rot out, so we were going to have a hole to deal with. So I'm not casting any dispersions with you guys. I know you guys have a job to do, but I'm just telling you, in reality, on some of these HPAs, it's a very frustrating process when you're out working on the ground. Thank you.
Thank you for those observations, Commissioner Holtzmiller. I would love to make sure that if you have or some of your compatriots have some specific issues that didn't go as well as you wanted to see, I supervise all of our regional operations. Most of our folks are very excited to hear feedback. I know I am, and I'd love to follow up if that's helpful.
And not by any means,
am I throwing our local guy under the bus, because he is great to work with. But he just shows us the rule book, and here's what they want, and we're going, come on, dude. Mm-hmm. It's 30 feet in a 30-mile stretch of stream. Yeah, we can't. We got to do everything we can to protect, but these are rural roads. And, you know, it's one thing when it's not your family that's going to come driving down there in the night and drive off into the hole, into the creek. And no, Tom's great to work with. I'm not by any shape, matter, nor form doing that. But I'll guarantee you the process can get really, really frustrating. Mm-hmm.